Good afternoon. The time is 3:06. Some sunshine. Clouds have broken up just a bit here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. Temperature of 47 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes, and this is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up at 3:30, we'll talk what's going on at the Wausau School Board. The School Board President Jim Boucher will be my guest. Until then, we're continuing to talk a bit about what I heard on Monday night. And I got to say, the last half hour or so has not been fun at all for me. Listening to that voice, listening to what the Republican nominee for the 29th Senate District said is depressing. The hatred in his voice, the hatred for anybody that's not like him, and knowing that he's going to use his power, should he be elected, just to help his friends and other right-wingers and refuse to work with anybody else. And just the personal attacks. When somebody says it doesn't matter who the president of the United States is, this is why it matters. Donald Trump for 4 years did that. Rewarding his friends, penalizing his enemies, personal attacks, hatred in his voice every single day. And a guy like Corey Tomchek, listened to that for 4 years, and he's probably, you know, been saying this for his entire life, thinking, I can't say all this stuff out loud. They would never elect me. Then he found out, hey, there's a lot of people out there that would elect me. And then he said, I'm going to run for the state senate and run as a right-wing hate monger. Now, he didn't say that to himself, but that's exactly what he's doing. But again, it's depressing. It really is depressing when you have one candidate who tries to bring people together and then you have another candidate who wants to burn everything down. And that's what Corey Tomchek wants to do. And the personal attacks to the governor and the mayor of Wausau, just below the dignity of the office he wants to occupy. That was only two of the candidates that were involved Monday night, and going to talk a little bit about the candidates for the 7th Congressional District. We only got about 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes before we have to take a break, but let's get underway because Dick Ausman, who's appeared on this program a couple of times, the Democrat, the challenger, Tom Tiffany, the Republican incumbent, Dick Ausman, was, again, I thought, very strong in his presentation. He came out and was very strong and very much talking about issues and talking about his opponent. He started off by talking about inflation, because inflation is definitely one of those big, big topics. And there are many reasons for it. It's not as simple as Tom Tiffany wants to make it out to be. Here's what Dick Ausman said Monday at the candidate forum concerning the reasons behind inflation.
Well, you listen to the news, and number one, it's inflation. But what bothers me is when you hear that it's Biden's fault. And that's basically the story. You know, it's Biden's fault. Or Sumner said, you know, if you pass this other benefits package, well, the one that Trump signed for was far greater than that. There's three cataclysmic things that have happened to our country recently. Number one, we've had a pandemic that we haven't experienced in more than 100 years. We all know how the country shut down. And out of that came cataclysmic event number two, in that a lot of people haven't returned to work again. A lot of them have started their own private businesses. A lot of baby boomers just decided, you know, life's too short, and so they're doing different things. Our supply chains they're in havoc. You know, there's still ships sitting off the ports right now waiting to unload. I was up in Managua earlier this year, and a guy's unloading the stuff in his store that he bought over a year ago. You know, so, and then cataclysmic event number three, Russia invades the sovereign nation of Ukraine. Oil prices skyrocket. You know, everything outside of if you're wearing silk or cotton or there's a metal, everything is made from fossil fuels. Plastics are all made from fossil fuels. When the price of fossil fuels go up, the cost of everything else goes up. There's also something going on. You have a labor shortage, and now companies are also they're paying more to get workers. I was really heartened. I was at a parade in North Hudson, and the Quick Trip had a sign on it, starting wage of $19-$20 an hour. I'm like, we're finally there. This is a wage that someone can live upon and have kids. But guess what? That $19 to $20 an hour is going to cycle through the system and again result in higher wages or higher inflation. But we've been through this. If you lived through the 70s, 18% mortgages, the gasoline, the waits at the lines. We've been through this as Americans. We will go through it. It's not the blame of a president. It's just the circumstances that we're in right now, far beyond the reach or what anyone can do.
An adult answer, because if Donald Trump was the president, inflation would be a problem. It would. It's a thought problem all over the world, and it's the worst problem in a number of right-wing countries. So the idea that somehow it's a left-wing kind of thing is ridiculous as well. So, again, that's just the start. We have some more comments from Dick Ostman and Tom Tiffany coming up as we continue here on the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 3:15 on this Wednesday, 47 degrees, partly sunny skies at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Jim Boucher, the Wausau School Board President. He'll join us again after the bottom of the hour news. Right now, we're again talking about what we heard on Monday, an event that featured both the 7th District Congressional candidates here in Wausau, Dick Ostman, the Democrat, Tom Tiffany, the Republican. Dick Ostman, again, was very strong on the issues. And one thing he wanted to make sure people know that he supports the police. He wants to give more support to the police. Here's what Ostman talked about when it came to law enforcement.
Also crime. You know, again, my stepdad sold all the fire and police equipment. I'm not here to defund the Blue. They are best friends. But I also, back then, I remember being 13, 14, hearing one of our friends who was a state patrol officer in the Minocqua area talk about how every time he approached someone, a car, he was fearful. And he actually quit a few years later. You know, we don't pay these folks enough. Every time they approach someone, they're putting themselves in danger. And we don't have enough right now. A lot of them have quit. So, you know, you can blame it on a lot of things, but we also need to have more law enforcement out there. We need to pay them well, and we need to equip them to address the threats that they face these days with the types of weapons and things that are out there.
Also, when he was asked, Dick Ostman, about the issues that are most important right now to the voters in the 7th Congressional District, he talked about things that actually affect people's lives. As we'll hear from Tom Tiffany, I don't think we heard that from the current congressman. But here's what Dick Ostman talked about, health care and Social Security.
And what I found out is what the people are really concerned about. Number one is health care. They are concerned about health care. 58% of all American debt is medical debt. We can do better for our children and the future generations. The other thing they're concerned about is Social Security. You know, those that aren't getting it really don't believe that it's going to be there for them. Those who have it are afraid their benefits are going to be cut. You know, Social Security can be solved in one fell swoop. Most folks don't know that when someone currently makes $147,000 a year, they stop contributing to the Social Security fund for the remainder of the year. Eliminate the cap on contributions and Social Security is immediately solved. It's that simple.
Another issue that continues to be, I think, very much at the forefront of the debate during this campaign is gun safety. We saw another tragedy in St. Louis earlier in the week. And again, talking about common sense moves that are basically agreed upon by so many people, except for the big money NRA and their lobbyists. Here's what Dick Ostman talked about when it came to gun safety measures.
The other thing they're concerned about, gun safety. with these miles I put on, I've been to so many fairs and farm events and stuff like that, and most of the folks I'm talking to are Republicans. They all agree with everything that I think we need to do. Again, I guess I came up Republican. But number one, you don't need more than 5 bullets in a clip. No one takes more than 1 or 2. I own guns. I'm not here to take away guns, but no one fires more than 1 or 2 bullets when they're hunting. If there was a limit on the number of bullets in a clip, it would give people a chance to fight back, run away, do something when they're caught in these situations. And I'm open to giving a permit, just like you can't have an automatic weapon, but you can get one to own an automatic weapon. You can get a permit to own a clip with more bullets if you really think someone's going to invade the country and you need that 50 to 100 bullets. Universal background checks. We need that. We need red flag laws. When someone's deemed a legal danger to themselves or others, we need to remove their weapon. When they're no longer a legal danger to themselves or others, they get it back. And number four, if someone buys a gun for the first time, they don't know that there's something called a safety. They don't know you don't leave a bullet in the chamber. They don't know you walk with the muzzle pointed down. You have to take a gun safety course. That was given to me by a Republican because I didn't realize that you didn't have to do that anymore. Those four things, everybody agrees on it. Doesn't matter the political party. Let's move it forward.
Another area that Dick Ostman got into was comparing himself to Tom Tiffany. And one of the questions that was asked to each of the candidates is, well, once elected, once in office, how are you going to serve the people of central Wisconsin? Pretty straightforward. Again, these questions gave a lot of wiggle room for the candidates. They really could talk about what they wanted to talk about and avoid maybe some of the topics they did not want to talk about. But Dick Ostman said basically he would vote in the interests of the people of the 7th Congressional District. And he gave a number of examples where Tom Tiffany basically votes against the interests of the people who live in the district that he represents.
I will vote for their best interests. A reason I got into this is because Tom Tiffany's votes are actually hurting people. He's voted against lowering the cost of insulin. He voted against the infant formula funding bill. He voted against Medicare being able to negotiate prescription drug prices. He voted against our veterans twice. He voted against the Honoring Our Pact Act to help them with their exposure to toxic substances. And that's every generation. It's burn pits, it's Agent Orange, it's radiation, it's poisoning on our camps and bases like Lejeune and Pearl Harbor. He voted against helping these folks. He just recently was one of 49 GOP congresspeople that voted against a bill that would help the veterans with their hunger needs and nutritional needs. He says, back the blue, makes me want to throw up. He just voted against a community policing bill that would give every community in this district with 125 or fewer employees funds to retain and hire new law enforcement. That's what we need. The only ones I don't think that probably would have gotten it was probably Wausau and the Marathon County Sheriff's Department. Otherwise, throughout this entire district, 26 counties, we could have helped our law enforcement, and he voted against it. He's voted against aid for Ukraine. He wants to privatize Social Security. That is a horrible idea. And the thing that really gets me, he's missed 350%. More votes than the average congressperson in the last Congress. He's paid a lot of money and he's not showing up to do his job. Enough.
I'm still waiting for Tom Tiffany to explain how that is. How did Tom Tiffany miss 350% of the average votes? Not of all votes, but the average congressman misses X number of votes. Tom Tiffany missed 3.5 times that amount. How does that happen? Tom Tiffany never brings it up. I think he needs to be asked specifically, why was he missing so many votes? But another area that Congressman Tiffany seems to have an issue with, according to Dick Ostman, is telling the truth. That sometimes Tom Tiffany will say something that's just not true. And Dick Ostman tried to pin Tom Tiffany against the wall pretty hard when it came to that issue near the end of his remarks on Monday evening.
And what really upsets me now is I'm seeing his pattern of lying. We've both been on these interviews. We were on the Western Wisconsin Journal television program, and he's telling the interviewer that he believes people should have access to contraceptives. He voted against the contraceptives bill, which would deny people access to contraceptives. We're both interviewed on the Wisconsin Public Radio Route 51 program. He's saying how he voted for more PFAS research in July. Well, is July 2021, and he voted against the PFAS bill. And it wasn't just research, it was actually doing something about it. And everybody here in Wausau should be concerned about it because you have PFAS in your wells, as does Rhinelander, now we know Marshfield does as well. And then he goes around the state telling people that critical race theory is being taught in our schools. And a teacher went up to him and said, would you please tell me which school this is being taught in? I'll get it to you. Didn't get anything. Saw him at another event. I'll get it to you. Didn't get anything. Called his office. Didn't get anything. At the Polk County Fair this last summer, he sees him again, and he's like, you said you were going to send me where critical race theory has been taught in our schools. Please tell me. And in front of others, Tom blurts out, I lied. That is not what we should expect of our representatives. It's not acceptable.
No, it's not. But Tom Tiffany had an opportunity to speak on Monday evening as well. Let's hear a few of the words of the current congressman for the 7th Congressional District. He was not a very positive guy when he was on stage. He started off by talking about how horrible the Democrats are right now. Horrible.
You all know what the problems are out there in America at this point. The record inflation, record high cost of living, record high energy prices, record illegal border crossings, record crime, and we have men setting records in girls' sports now. A wrecking ball has been taken to America. And it's time to change that. And we can do that.
What the heck is that men are breaking records in women's sports stuff? I mean, come on, Tom. And the Democrats are taking a wrecking ball to America. Craziness. But Tom continued to be Mr. Positivity as he continued.
We have the cost of living going through the roof. We have record high energy prices. We have record illegal border crossings. We have record crime. And I would add another thing. We have a foreign policy that is in shambles in America at this point. If you want to know when Vladimir Putin, who, by the way, I am sanctioned by the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin, if you want to know why he was so emboldened, all you have to do is go back to January 20th of 2021. President Biden's first day in office, his very first action was to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. And then he has continued from there to shut down drilling on public lands. We have the lowest number of permits that have been issued since World War II on our public lands. His Securities and Exchange Commission is trying to suppress lenders from being able to lend to companies that produce fossil fuels. It has been a full court press to shut down our fossil fuel industry here in America. Vladimir Putin and other tyrants around the world, they saw that. They saw it for the weakness that it is here in America. Well, that was reinforced just a couple months later after January 20th of 2021, when President Biden removed the sanctions on the Nord Stream pipeline that runs from Russia to Europe. Those sanctions had been put in place by the previous administration. And then what made it very clear to our adversaries around the world that America was going to be weak is the debacle in Afghanistan. That will forever be a blight on our foreign policy and our military here in America.
Garbage, 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 garbage. Number one, Vladimir Putin did not go into the Ukraine because Joe Biden canceled the Keystone Pipeline on January 20th, 2021. Number two, the Afghanistan pullout, while not pretty, was the right thing to do. Guys like Tom Tiffany and so many of the right-wingers want never-ending war. Never to end. Continue all the time. Joe Biden said enough. Enough. Enough of America's money, enough of America's blood in Afghanistan. So for Tom Tiffany to talk like that, garbage, just garbage. And again, he's talking about Putin and Afghanistan. Anything to take a political shot at the opponents. I mean, doesn't talk about what he would do. We got a couple of more Tom Tiffany quotes, but we have to wait until the last segment of the program, because coming up next, we're going to talk some local school board issues from the Wausau School Board. The president of the school board, Jim Boucher, he'll be joining us coming up next after we have a news update at the bottom of the hour. I'm Chad Holmes with you until 4 o'clock. It's the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices. The time is 3:33. Nice fall day here in central Wisconsin. Currently 47 degrees. Some sunshine outside our studios on East Wausau Avenue. I'm Chad Holmes. Again, Chad Holmes Show until 4 o'clock here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And right now, very happy to welcome to the program, and as I say, better late than never, the president of the Wausau School Board, Jim Boucher. And first of all, Jim, again, I said it off the air, apologize for our little miscommunication that was all on my end last week, but really happy to have you on the program.
Well, I appreciate that, Chad, and I've been looking forward to this and looking forward to talking with you.
Well, let's talk, first of all, the president of the school board. I wanted to ask you, in terms of your responsibilities and your role, how different is it from the other school board members? What added, I guess, you know, like added a little bit of, you know, little bit of added frosting on the cake being the president? What additional responsibilities do you have as president?
Well, one of the big things that I look at, and I follow a lot of the, you know, suggestions from the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, what is an officer, what is the president, what's the vice president, and understanding the roles of that. So I try to follow it pretty specifically to their guidelines. And first of all, it's to facilitate discussion and making sure that everybody on the school board has an opportunity to say or ask or just question what the topic is and move the agenda forward. Also, to work very specifically with the superintendent in getting the agenda ready for one meeting to the next meeting and making sure that the other board members have an opportunity, if they would like to have the opportunity to add an agenda item, to make sure that I'm open to those agenda items as well. To make sure that meeting laws, the open meeting laws, are followed is very important. I'm one that believes in parliamentary procedures, the Robert's Rules of Order, and I try to make sure that we are following those, you know, but people do make mistakes. We are all human, and that sometimes is hard to do, and moving things forward appropriately according to Robert's Rules. To make sure that the board and the administration are working together and getting that work, whatever that work is, done in a cooperative fashion. We are very concerned about budgets and curriculum and making sure that agenda items are really more specific to that. As you know, and community members know, budget and following the budget, because that is generated by levies and taxes, that we are good stewards of the money that is given to us by the taxpayer. And then curriculum is very important. And being an ex-administrator and teacher for over 42 years, it's been very important that curriculum is to me when it comes to teaching and moving students from where they are to where they can be down the road. And then making sure that students and families have academic choices. It's a prime consideration for the president, and also getting input from the board members. So there's so many things that I could add to this, but the biggest thing is what is right for our students in local control, moving them into the 21st century. And I always say we're in the third decade of the 21st mm-hmm. century. So I try to listen a lot and really open my ears to the comments being made from the community, to our board members, to the administration, and listening to teachers and families and the parents of our students, who don't have a voting opportunity. So I still believe we need to listen to our students because they are our prime people that we're here for. Mm-hmm. So I think I rattled off several items there, and I hope I haven't gone too far.
No, not at all. Again, we're talking to Jim Boucher, the president of the Wausau School Board, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. It was a difficult couple of years for everybody in education, starting in March of 2020 through the worst of the pandemic, and the school board was part of that as well. I want to ask you now here, as we are in the fall of 2022, the board, previous members, current members, had to go through a lot. What is the general feel around the board? Because I imagine, as you said, you know, having to listen, work together, big factor in making sure that everything that needs to get done does get done. What's the general overall feeling around the board? Is everybody working well? Is everybody in a better place, I would say, than maybe the last couple of years where it was so difficult for everybody?
You know, I'm a pragmatic optimist. So I've realized in reality that pragmatism of me, I need to look at, you know, there are going to be disagreements, there are going to be different points of view, there are going to be those types of things. But the optimistic side of me is, well, different points of view is a good thing. It's a good thing so you get a lot of points of view so you can make the right decision down the road. So being a pragmatic optimist, that's oxymoronic, but it's a good place to be. Challenges are going to be there. And that's how you look at challenges, as I have always perceived it, is that the challenge isn't going to stop you from going forward. It's going to be a bump in the road. And how you take that bump in the road is you got to slow down and take it easy and don't get too excited about it. And so right now, I think our board is an excellent board. We're talking with one another, and we do have different points of view, and that's good because that is what makes a good school board. You want to have different points of view. As an ex-head football coach for many, many years, I always wanted assistants that disagreed with me versus having assistants that agreed with me, because if they are all agreeing with me, there's something wrong. Hmm. You know, but in having disagreement, you can come together in that disagreement and really get good solutions from that. So no matter how a board responds, I think you need to take a look at how you're going to respond to everything around you. So being a pragmatic optimist is pretty much what encapsulates it for me and for what we're seeing in our board right now.
Like yourself, I wear multiple hats, and one of the hats I wear here at the radio station is I broadcast Wausau West High School sports, and you talk about football, you talk about the high schools, and you said it, you're a former Wausau East High School football coach. Before I ask you about maybe some of the machinations going on in terms of committees and discussions about some school changes, could I ask you about your thoughts, where it is disappointing where for the last couple of years we have not seen varsity football at Wausau East and some of the struggles athletically. And I know this is maybe a little bit outside the purview of your board position, but right. What's your take on the difficulties athletically, as that's, again, part of the entire experience for the students that's going on at Wausau East right now?
Well, I'm not going to speak for the board on this case.
Right. No,
and I definitely am not going to be the board president in my answer on this one. So I'm going to separate myself a little bit. I'm not surprised because what I'm seeing in the northern part of Wisconsin, I've seen it in the southern part of Wisconsin. When you're dealing at the high school level, you don't have the option as a football coach or a basketball coach or a coach of any sport at the high school level to go out and recruit. You lose a great athlete, you can't go out and recruit another athlete. It's not like the pros where if you lose a great athlete, you can't go out and buy another athlete. You just can't do that. You're really dependent on your youth programs. You're dependent on building your program from underneath as the young student athletes who are third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders coming up, you need to work with them. And that is a big part of being a head coach of a program, that you work with the youth in your community, and that helps create success. And I can't say anything about the fact that I don't know if the coaches are doing that. I'm not in that anymore. I know as an athletic director at a large high school in the metro area, I expected the head coaches to be involved with the youth programs. So I think you're dependent on a lot of intangibles here. You can build the program, but it's very difficult. It's time-consuming, number one. Number two, you still have to have skilled athletes, and if you don't have skilled athletes, and you just don't create them automatically. That's a God-given gift to be a skilled athlete. Demographics, people change, people move. You're locked into your community and what you have, and things change. High school athletics change. I remember D.C. Everest having a powerful program for about 20 years. It's changed a little bit. I can take a look at some of the great programs throughout the state of Wisconsin that had great programs many years ago. The Ashland high school teams, the Superior teams that have gone up and down. So you're really depending on a lot of things. So what's going on at Wausau East? We, now I can say as administration and the school board, we're dealing with a situation where what's going to be best for our student athletes at this point in time. And it was the administration's thought process is maybe we just have a JV program for the time being for a couple of years to get our program built up in numbers and that. And that's why we're there and we're doing what we're doing at this point in time. I'm hoping that the JV program becomes a strong varsity program mm-hmm. next year. I think Wausau East had a pretty good season this year. They had some success. They winning perpetuates winning. And when you win a few games, now you feel a little more confident. And I'm hoping that this JV program will become a good, strong varsity program in the future here.
Again, we're talking
to you. I gave you a lot of answers to that question. I'm sorry.
No, it's a very important issue out there. And it's great to get as much information as we possibly can. And along those lines, I would ask, again, there's been some rumbles about perhaps maybe going back to one high school or changing, schools in, at not just the high school level, but as you go right down to the elementary level. I know there's been discussion. What is going on right now in terms of those discussions, in terms of what maybe the future is going to look like?
Well, I'm going to go to the macro before I get to the micro. I was just at a meeting last night for Wisconsin Association of School Boards, Region 5, and part of the presentation gave information pertaining to the fact that the numbers of students in the state of Wisconsin has dropped and is going to continue to drop for several years going in the future, which forces a lot of communities to have to make some tough decisions as we go forward, because we're not seeing the numbers of people in those communities. We have seen that happen for the last 15 years in northern Wisconsin. Northern Wisconsin numbers in students has dropped considerably because people are moving around for job purposes, for educational purposes, or better ways of or better opportunities in living. So people are moving around, and that's causing problems for schools. I know I was out of school for a period of time up in northern Wisconsin that the numbers went from 1,000 down to about 720. Mm-hmm. I know that when my wife and I left Wausau and I went into the administration role in Minnesota, our numbers here in the Wausau School District were just about around 10,000 students, as I remember back. And coming back, we're now just under 8,000 students. And there's just a lot of reasons why this is happening. People are having less children in the family, more more. You're seeing more families of one and two students where we used to have five and six in a family. So there's so many intangibles that are going on right now.
And Jim, can I, we have to take a quick 2-minute break. Would you be able to hang on for just a few more minutes? Because I don't want to keep you too long. We're going to take a quick break, come back in 2 minutes, and we'll continue to discuss, again, some of these issues with the Wausau School Board and their president, Jim Boucher. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. Again, with you until 4 o'clock. Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6. And then I will be back. Again, busy Wednesday because from 6 till 8, the big high school sports show. Myself and former Mosinee head football coach Paul Davinsky talking some high school football playoff action. Plus special guests, Colby head coach Jim Hagan at 6:40 and Wausau West senior linebacker. My mind blanks on me. Caleb Tooley. Yes, Caleb Tooley joining me at 7:06 tonight. So again, a busy Wednesday. And again, very happy to have talking some high school with the Wausau School Board and their president, Jim Boucher. Jim, again, thanks for sticking around for one more segment. We were talking beforehand, before the break, again, about the potential changes. And you've been talking about, again, a little bit of the history of where we got to this point where some ideas have to be put on the table. And basically, could you continue where you were? And also, what is happening, I guess, behind the scenes right now in terms of maybe future changes?
Well, good point. I'm going to go back to where I was talking about the numbers of students in the state of Wisconsin starting to diminish, and now we're seeing it in local districts. We're starting to see that here. We have seen it here. And when you have less students, you get less funding. And when you get less funding, you need to start looking at what you can do to cut back. Now it becomes an economic situation as well. And we have seen families move. We have seen families have less children. We have seen demographic changes throughout the state of Wisconsin. And so those are tangibles that cause change to take place for many of the school districts. So we're starting to see more school districts look at consolidation of the buildings that they've had. That is something that we're looking at right now with a lot of input from staff and from community members and businesses in the community. So we're spending a lot of time listening because we are going to have problems down the road. We're starting to see that. We want to be proactive and not reactive. And so we're starting to do this planning. So we've had subcommittees created this past summer and into the fall for the secondary and also elementary. What are we going to do? As I talked about what boards are concerned about budget and curriculum. Right now, it is an economic and curricular driving force in how are we going to move into the future. And the economic side is going to be, can we afford to keep 20 educational school buildings open? Is that going to be fiscally prudent of us in order to move our students forward and our community forward? So there is the talk. The two committees met. They have given ideas, and now we're going to start talking with community about what they think about the situation so we can sit back and make the best decision possible. We want to listen a lot, Chad, and that's one of the things as a board president, I want to make sure that I'm doing listening more. I have ideas, but I want to hear other ideas first.
It really does come down to making sure everybody that is invested in the schools here in Wausau have their voice be heard, isn't it? I mean, especially for the biggest decisions. I imagine that the board has options in terms of, you know, doing things, whether it's in this situation or other situations, but boy, it makes things a lot simpler when something is implemented, when everybody, for lack of a better term, does have that skin in the game where their voice was heard.
Oh, absolutely. And parents have big skin in the game. And being a parent and a grandparent, I understand that side. But I also understand from the administrative side, you have to make good decisions from the budgetary point of view and also the curricular point of view. And from a board point of view, we're expecting the administration to come to us with ideas for solutions, and then we will confirm what solution would be best for the community. That's why we're the elected officials at this point in time. And that's the process we're following, Chad, and we're trying to stay really tight to that because we've got a lot of things that have to happen, not only with the restructuring of everything, but also taking a look at moving our students forward and closing the achievement gap. Mm-hmm. That has been a big conversation for many years in education. We have a bigger gap as what has come out nationally and statewide and locally, where students have had some really tough learning years in the last couple of years because of the pandemic.
How do you go about doing that? That's a big question, but what is the process right now when you see that gap? What is on the table in terms of trying to close that gap?
Well, I'll tell you what has been done already. The ESSER money, the Elementary Secondary School Emergency Fund, that relief fund that was put out by the federal government, has been very beneficial for us to start some tutoring programs get our students up to speed to where they should be at this point in time. So we have hired temporary people in those positions to help our students move forward. The remedial programs are working well at this point in time, and we'll continue to find out through our assessments how well our students are closing that gap with the help that we are giving them. So we have implemented, and we are moving forward. And we just hope to continue to do that because you never stay the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. And so we're intending to get better.
And I guess my final question is, you've talked a lot, you've mentioned a lot the term budget. Budget money is so vitally important. How is the budget right now for the school board? How difficult are decisions right now for the school board? I guess, how is the district doing in that realm?
Well, there's a couple of places where we are very grateful to our community. Our community is a community that wants to have the best. And passing the referendum for $120 million was unbelievable. And that was it was almost, 2-1 in favor of moving forward in that fashion. But now the community, the taxpayer, is going to expect us to use that money appropriately and be very specific in how that money is being used as we move forward. So we're progressing and we're moving forward off of that referendum, and we're hoping to make sure that everything is real tight and going in the correct direction. The other part is when you talk about if you can save money here, you can spend money over there. Or if you can save money and not spend money and still get the top project done, that's great, and it's good for the taxpayer. And that's what we're moving forward to.
Jim,
and with consolidation, the possibility would be to maybe save even more because of the fact of the number of redundancies that we have throughout our elementary and secondary level.
The issues will keep coming. That's one of the things about being on a school board, isn't it? But
I don't look at it as a problem. Look at that as a challenge.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. And I really appreciate you coming on the program, talking about some of these issues. And I hope to have you back on again, because as you said, challenges keep coming and different issues come up. And really appreciate you spreading a little bit of the information and talking to our listeners. So again, Jim, apologize we couldn't get you on last week, but I hope it was well worth the wait for you and for everybody tuned in.
Thank you very much, Chad. I greatly appreciate it.
That's